Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. And I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, here in the city of Benton Harbor, you would not believe. You would think that you were living in Selma, Alabama, the deepest part of the South, the deltas, and Mississippi. You would not believe what's happening here. The hostile takeover of a city by Whirlpool. They are hosting the PGA here in May. May 23rd through the 27th. And we plan to occupy the PGA. We have discovered that the EM here, the emergency manager, has been lying to the people all along. He have claimed to have balanced the books. Unfortunately, we are worse off now than ever before, only because he had brought in all of his friends and paying them well over the normal rates. I tell you this, we are at war here. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. We are battling for our lives here. We even have, like I said before, a serial killer. A serial killer. And they do not want anybody to know. But you're hearing it first on the Pinckney Show. I tell you, we have done some incredible things this week, but we have an issue here. We have to get ready to deal with Whirlpool. We have to let them know that we're not taking this mess anymore. They are closing down streets for this PGA. They are doing all the things, and we're allowing them to do it, and no one is speaking up. But I tell you this, we will be there. And we will be ready for the PGA. And remember, occupy the PGA. It starts May 23rd through the 27th. Be here. We're going to start at Benton Harbor City Hall, 200 Wall Street. Please don't miss it. The 1% will be here. We have to make sure that we're here. If we don't do nothing else, we have to be here. And on that note, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. Yes. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification. One day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had a tremendous week last week. We had more than enough listeners, they say, as I would say, but we can always use more. I tell you, it's been tremendous. I'm going to read you this quick article that came in from the news media, and here is talking about the EM manager. It said Justice Department, talking about the Supreme Court. Court lingering too long on the emergency manager decision. A Republican on the Michigan Supreme Court said that the legal challenge to the state emergency manager law is dragging on too long. Justice Steve Markman is part of a four-judge Republican majority on the court. Markman said that the state highest court should take over the case and make a decision. The Michigan Supreme Court had yet to rule on Governor Rick Snyder, also known as the Rictator, request to bypass lower court and make a decision on whether the emergency manager law violates the state constitution. That request was made last summer. The opponent of the law said it robs local voters of the right to choose their leader and violate 9 clauses of the Michigan Constitution. If that is true, said Justice Markham, in a sharp, wordy dissent to a procedure order, the law needs to be struck down and quickly. But he said it is the law, it's constitutional and necessary to ensure local government remain sovereign, that the authority need to be affirmed. There are 2 school districts, 4 cities, including the city of Benton Harbor, being ran by emergency manager with sweeping authority under the law of the year-old law, which simply says that He can terminate every single elected official. I tell you that. This is something that we have to stop because it's coming to your community next. What they're doing, they're testing the state of Michigan, see how far they can go, and they're doing just that. But on that note, I'm going to switch. I got to talk about Lynn Stewart. I'm reading this greeting from Ralph Pointer, my dear friend. Lynn Stewart Defense Organization. This is another one of those moments when your participation will really make a difference. Come with your poems, songs, instruments, tents, flags, banners, prayers, shouts, and occupy the court to set Lynn free. That's Lynn Stewart. Please read her message below and pass it on and on. Matter of fact, I have spread this all around. It reads, after the disaster in July 2010 when Judge, I'll spell his name, K-O-E-L-T-L, following the directive of the Second Circuit, increased my sentence from 28 months to 10 years. Our righteous indignation fueled this appeal. The government argument will center on my testimony at trial and the alleged perjury. All of those facts were before the court at the time of the 28-month sentence, which was not the basis then of a double-digit sentence. Our brief attack, the increased sentence on two different fronts, one on a doctrine of the substantial unreasonableness, meaning it was just too much of an increase, fivefold, given the circumstance. Secondly, we argued that the only new information before the judge was my statement after my first sentence in October 2008 and remarks I made on the courthouse steps before I surrendered to the prison. We contend strongly that this is protected speech under the First Amendment of the Constitution and cannot be used to increase or as a basis for a sentencing, even if they hated it. The same group of three judges that heard and decided the original appeal will also hear the argument on the 29th of February. The government is not asking for more time. They are satisfied with their pound of flesh, but it's not likely that this court would take any decision that will help me. This is Lynn Stewart talking. The times are cue for prisoners and their lawsuit. The brief is available at my website. That's lynnstewart.org. The lawyers argued in July of 2010 will be on board. An additional Harold Price Fringer, that's F-A-H-R-I-N-G-E-R, the attorney in the First Amendment field. He's the one who won in the Larry Flint Hustler case of the United States Supreme Court was his. He also in the line of fire. When the shooting took place, he would enthusiastically present our case. I would not be present, not unusual once in prison, but my spirit would be there to inspire. Of course, my case has always been government firing warning shot to lawyers that a vigorous defense of certain clients, if not conforming to the government specification, will be punished severely. This chill effect in these days that we are confronted with grand jury investigation, dismantling the occupation, is not something we should contemplate with anything less than alarm. I have just finished David Gilbert's book, Love Struggles, and the Intersection of Lawyers When There Are Arrests of Designated Enemies of the State and Are the Only Meaningful Protection Available. A large outpour of support in Folly Square and Thomas Paine Park and in the courtroom will signal to these arbiters of justice that attention must be paid to 99% who are watching with suspicion and totally up the road and not take it. We must get out and support Lynn Stewart. I tell you, I see this as an opportunity, and we have to take advantage of this opportunity. And on that note, let me bring in Ralph Pointer. Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend, and thank you. Thank you so much. And Lynn thanks the people who have supported her so religiously so far in her struggle. And I must remind everybody, her conviction was based on a statement that she made for the blind sheikh who was falsely accused of a landmarks plot, explosion of landmarks, that was set up by the United States government, the FBI, and an Egyptian operative under Hosni Mubarak, who has since been overthrown by his people in Egypt. He was a cleric who was supported by the United States until he began speaking out against the United States. They shipped him to Afghanistan to be the spiritual support of the so-called infamous, getting a senior moment here again.
We'll take your time. We got nothing but time for you today, Ralph.
Yes. And I'm trying to think of the name, who was just killed recently, and Obama cheered it on. Help me out. Betty. I can't remember the name of the
Is it Gaddafi or is it Bin Laden?
No. In Afghanistan, he was killed in Pakistan recently, and they paraded his name. Osama Bin Laden. The blind sheikh was a spiritual supporter of Osama Bin Laden in Afghanistan when the United States was trying to overthrow the Russian occupation of Afghanistan. And after the occupation of Russia was overthrown, they continued to throw out the United States. And at that point, the blind sheikh was entered into the United States by the CIA or the FBI, but they thought he was just getting away from Afghanistan. And he continued to speak out against Hosni Mubarak, the premier of Egypt. Now, you know the United States government supported the government of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. He was recently overthrown and is on trial. But one of his operatives was paid $250,000 to come to the United States to silence the blind sheikh. Now, what he did was set up a safe house, rounded up rubes who couldn't pay their food bills, had cameras and everything, and had this so-called plot to blow up landmarks. And when he presented this plot to the sheikh said, no, 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 no. This will not be good for Muslims. Find a military target. He put him off. But what the government attacked the sheikh for was he didn't produce or didn't report this operative to the FBI who was handling him. So Lynn Stewart defended him, and she defended him very well. But what she also did was showed the complicity of the American government in these false plots of terrorism that were set up by the government informers. And after the blind sheikh was convicted, Lynn Stewart continued to argue his case. And for that, she was imprisoned because they charged her with being a part of a terrorist plot by, listen to this, by providing her client, who was falsely convicted of terrorism, to his terrorist planners. You see how far they went. You know, it is ridiculous, but Lynn Stewart is in jail. And when she was found guilty and sentenced to 2 years, 2.5 years in jail, while she was out on bail, because we're carrying this case to the Supreme Court, she continued to accept any invitation to any group, organization, or university that wanted to discuss the First Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, etc. And because of this, the Second Circuit said she continues to travel around the countries to law schools and universities, corrupting our youth. And so, as I told her, you now have joined the ranks of Jesus Christ and Socrates. They were accused of corrupting youth, speaking truth to the young. And her appeal is going to be heard the 29th of February in New York, in the morning. We don't know exactly what time it is, but it will be in the morning of the 29th, and we are going to occupy the courthouse on behalf of all people who have been treated unjustly in the legal system. You know about that. You've been telling our listeners about the things you're doing, the court watching, and the injustices that happen in your part of the world. Everybody knows about that. Everybody knows about the so-called war on drugs. Everyone knows about what happens to people, poor people, black and white, in this criminal injustice system. And then when you look at the numbers of people who have been deprived of their human rights, their civil rights, because of their previous incarceration, you see millions of people who cannot vote, cannot access housing, cannot access education because of their record. And it goes from too many violations, traffic, too many minor violations. You get in within the courthouse or within the system, your name comes up, and they stop you from voting illegally or legally. They stop you from employment. And we are occupying the courthouse on behalf of all of these injustices. So we're asking everybody to show up the night before with all of your banners, et cetera, with all of your grievances, to let the people who are running this government understand that we, the 99%, who understand that there are few who have all of the money, and most of us who do not. There are few who get more than justice, and the most of us do not have anything of justice. So this is what this is about. And Howard Price Farringer, who was a First Amendment expert, who defended Larry Flint, oddly enough, on his right to print a magazine that many considered pornographic, as a First Amendment right. He successfully defended Larry Flint, and he's going to defend Lynn Stewart on her right of freedom of speech. Never harmed anyone anywhere, but the government is afraid that the truth will harm them, so they put her away for 28 months, and then they upped it to 10 years based on a speech that she gave after her 28-month sentence. So, you know, this is where we are in America, and we're hoping for people to come out and to show their anger at any government. And I'm talking about the Democratic government of Mr. Obama, to say, no, we don't want this type of government. And we don't want this type of corporate takeover of everything. So this fits in with what you're doing there in Benton Harbor about Whirlpool, corporate government taking over everything. So we must be aware that we must pull all of these grievances together and let them know that we are unhappy. We are the 99% unhappy with 99% of their policies. And I believe that only then, when they hear us and they see us, they will pay a little bit of attention. So far, we know that they don't pay attention. The foreclosures continue. The unemployment continues. The idea that we're going to have a decent economy is a lie. So we are in position of letting them understand that we will take it no longer. So please come out. Thank you, Reverend, for giving me the opportunity to in the background here. We must never support any candidate that does not support our positions. And we have this bad habit of supporting those who do not support us. We support those who say something and then do nothing. And I'm talking about the Democratic Party. They have been in charge of miseducation of the inner cities for the last 40 years, but we keep voting them in. Mm. And We have to do something. We have to say no. We support only those who support us. And I look forward to your running on the Green Party ticket soon to defeat them, to let them know that we will not tolerate their so-called representation of us without representing us. So thank you again for the opportunity to put this message out there. But they're all the same message, that we must, you know, have organizations that support us, and we do not at this moment have those organizations. Mm. Thanks again.
And you are, and listen, let me ask you a question. How
yes.
is Lynn doing, period? Talk to me about her physical health and stuff like that.
Well, Lynn is in trouble physically. She was.
Mm-hmm.
They refused to give her time to get a necessary operation before she went in to the prison system. And they wanted to give her an operation in a hospital that, in New York City, that didn't have a reputation of being a good hospital. Even though we have many good hospitals in New York City, they said, no, go to jail now and accept, you know, an operation in a hospital that didn't have a reputation that was as good as many of the other hospitals. And Lynn turned it down. She says, no. Too many things happen in hospitals under the best circumstances. She will not submit herself to an operation in a hospital under circumstances less than the best. And we understand that. Those of us who have watched political people get operated on and die over and over again are nervous about that. So Lynn is still in bad health, but her spirits are high because she's expecting another hit. She has a hearing tomorrow because an inmate in the prison died who complained about great pain. And they said, oh, she's just faking it. And then after she died, the inmates asked Lynn Stewart to speak. And she was told not to speak about the inadequacies of the prison medical system, and it was nobody's fault. Well, Lynn started off her speech with, I charge murder.
Mm.
So you know where that was. And when they told her to sit down, she shouted out the young woman's name, Tiki, are you still faking it? The woman who died. So she has a hearing, and who knows what that's going to be, but that tells me her spirits are, you know, as they always were. And when she helps inmates in the prison, as I say, she's the greatest jailhouse lawyer ever. When she helps inmates in the prison, when they do get a going home date, when they get a victory, the whole prison celebrates. So she's happy at work, happy at work. How can she be happy in jail? And every time I say, Lynn, how are you? She says, Ralph, I'm in jail.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
That's a lot.
Absolutely. And but, then I think she said the best part, I got to eat that food.
That's right.
I think that's the worst part of being there. You have to eat that food. And that, to believe me, that was, wow. That, you know, I used to have nightmares about that food. And, you know, I could
that's
not
true.
Believe that they would serve people that garbage.
Exactly. When they announced austerity plans in the prison, along with all of the rest of the austerity plans in America, she says it took one day to feel it. The next day, they had a thin slice of pizza and some lettuce without dressing on it for lunch. And she says, that's austere. And sick people need food and rest. And sick people are not getting it. But she says, how could she complain inside of a prison when people who are not in prison do not have decent food, decent place to sleep? This foreclosure is outrageous and don't have any future. So how could she complain on the inside about what people on the outside do not have? And this is our struggle, Reverend, and thank you for leading it, because our job is to examine the problems and then suggest solutions. And the solution is that those of us of purpose, of a single-minded purpose, must organize together, must identify each other, and then come up with an organization, and then come up with actions that will stop them. I love the boycott. We must continue to boycott Whirlpool. We must continue to keep their stock almost junk stock. We must continue to do whatever it is that we conclude necessary to defend ourselves, our community, our children, and our political point of view.
Hey, and thank you so much, Ralph. And I tell you, you are a true soldier. And whatever you do, you when you talk to Lynn or whatever that is, you better talk to her tomorrow in case they put her on sanctions or whatever it might be. And you let her know that we love her and we're going to fight for her. It's a strong possibility, Ralph, that I may not be able to come, but I'm thinking about it. I'm trying to figure out a way how to get there. And
well, you have a place to stay when you do.
Hey, well, you know, I'm thinking about all that, so I'm trying to put everything together, and let's see what happens. And on that note, let me bring in Mary
Stewart.
Mary, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing, Reverend?
I am doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm praising the good Lord. I found him worthy.
He's worthy to be praised.
To speak to the radio audience. I've just been having a wonderful time today fighting these darn stalkers they're signing.
Mm-hmm.
So I managed to get an article posted, and it is called American Holocaust. And what I'm letting people know about is that it is not a future event. It is something that started long ago, but I like to say it started with the secret arrest and murder of Larry Neal. Because although they've been doing away with people for a great long time, they usually give some sort of records, documents. They usually tell some lie. But with Larry, they refuse to give any records, any documents, any explanation as to how this mentally disabled man came up secretly arrested for 18 days and murdered. So the last administration and under this present administration, because he died in 2003, they're sticking to their guns and saying, we're not going to tell you anything about that missing and murdered mentally ill man who was in jail the whole while. So we have Ron Paul's bill. The bill number is H.R. 3785. Now that bill is to overturn the indefinite military detention provision that's in the National Defense Authorization Act. So everybody, black, white, Asian, Latino, it doesn't matter, Democrat, Republican, listen here. Don't be so prejudiced against Ron Paul that you miss your rope. You know, you're drowning here. These people intend to open concentration camps in America. And I don't know who you think will be first, but I'm telling you the Holocaust started with my brother, and he's a black man. So, and he's a disabled man. So, you know, I don't know where you think it's going to start, but I think it's going to start where imprisonment always has in America, and that's with the most disenfranchised people. So don't be so prejudiced about Ron Paul. You are not voting for president by supporting a bill. So get off of that, and please help push H.R. 3785. You can go online and look for it, and that is a bill to repeal the NDAA provision for concentration camps in America. I hear that they're already taking bids for service providers for the concentration camps. Who's going to clean them up? Who's going to provide the scarce lunches? So listen, they're serious about this, and we better be serious. Don't worry about who proposed the bill. Get on it and save your own. Can I say it? No, I won't say it. Are you there? Are you there, Reverend?
Yeah, I'm still here. Go right ahead.
Let me
ask you another question right fast. Let me jump off on another subject. We was talking. You was telling me about the Martin Luther King Library. And you was giving me some tidbits about that. I want you to talk a little bit about that on the show. Tell us a little bit about the Martin Luther King Library.
Okay, well, you mean that we're going to have a meeting there coming up in April, I believe. We haven't locked down the date. And that will be with Mr. Esteban Garcia, who was your last week's guest. And people can listen online to last week's show by going to Reverend Pinckney Blog Talk. As a matter of fact, you have many shows online there. And he's going to be in Atlanta. And, you know, he's the author of the U.S. Jailhouse Lawyer's Manual. And he is going to be here talking to people about the mass incarceration and giving tidbits of information for people who have people who are in that situation. And I tell you, he also has another book that has been released on plea deals. And he was telling us last week about some of that. Is that what you meant about the library?
Yeah. What I really meant, I wanted, you know, you were telling me about who owns it and who sponsored it and things like that. You were telling me about the last time before we talked. We talked recently, but
You're thinking not about the library. I think you're thinking about the conversation we had regarding the Martin Luther King Memorial.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
The memorial that they put on the mall in Washington was manufactured in China. And I was letting you know that we have a large number of great artists in America. We have some great sculptors. We have a great big, nice piece of rock right here in Georgia called Stone Mountain. You know, Martin Luther King mentioned Stone Mountain, Georgia, in one of his most famous speeches. And I found out when I went to the Martin Luther King March here in Atlanta on his birthday that some of our artists are upset in America. They feel like they were not treated fairly. They feel like just like a lot of our jobs are going overseas, now even our artwork is going to a fascist country, a communist country, to be building a memorial for a man whose whole life and his death was because of freedom, the quest for freedom. So they feel like it's a slap in the face to themselves, the artists in America, a slap in the face to Martin Luther King, and a slap in the face to black people, and a slap in the face to the whole nation, that memorial should be manufactured by China instead of by free people. So I don't know how you feel about it, but they were telling me they're very upset.
Absolutely. Listen, you got about 2 minutes. You can say whatever you want. I'm going to bring in Roz after you, so go right ahead.
Well, I wrote an article I'd like for people to know about, and it is called Awesome God. Now, you know, this is a secular program. Everybody is welcome. And my group is Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. It's secular also. Everybody is invited, and we need everybody. Everybody. But the thing is that I'm a Christian. I wrote Awesome God when I heard about Jock Smith, who was the president of the Jenny Cochran firm. He died on January 8th. And I thought about, we have an avenger, and God is going to fight our battles. 6 years ago, that Cochran firm got the judge to lie and said they didn't have any offices in Georgia. No Cochran firm offices at all in the state of Georgia. That's a lie they got the judge to tell. I don't know how they did that. But in any case, he's dead, and hopefully he got saved before he died, because there is a reckoning day coming. The thing is that we, the body of Christ, are going to hold you accountable right here on earth, and God the Father is going to hold people accountable when they see him for the things they did to oppress people here in this world. So you need to think about that. It's not too late for our representatives who voted to put Americans in detention centers under military detention without any trial or anything. You voted for that, but you've got another chance now to please take that threat away. You can support Ron Paul's bill. That's 3785. My two new articles are here, and I'd like for you to look at Awesome God by Mary Neal. Just Google it. And the second one is American Holocaust. So we are facing some terrible things, but we can get together. We can overcome this. We can make the end game a 31st century problem. It does not have to be our problem now. God said these things would happen, but he did not say when. I believe the when is up to us. the more oppression you take, the more they will give you. So let's say now, let's join together, black, white, Mexican, let's join together, Asian, let's join together. The Japanese know what it is to be in American detention camps, don't you? Come on and let's join together and let's push this bill to the floor for a vote and get rid of that threat. And let's also help each other, help Ben Harbor, help Mary Neal, help the incarcerated mentally ill. Because if we only by unity, see, only by uniting together will we be able to take America away from its present fascist direction.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Reverend.
Hey, and you're welcome, Mary. I tell you, it's always a pleasure and an honor to have you on. And I tell you, you know, it's just been tremendous, and the outpour of support that has come from around the country is tremendous. But I'm going to give you a couple minutes later on in the show, but I want to bring on Roz. Roz, you got about 5 minutes to say whatever your heart desires. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. It's always such a blessing and an honor to be on your show. Mary is the sweetest person. We've been emailing each other, which is a blessing. Mary's right. Ralph is right. We all have to stand together to make a change here. Our country, the government, is so corrupt. The schools, everything happening. Well, my case, everybody wants to know, the judge has set a date for the trial again. On February 22nd, but he sent a note that I don't have to be there, but I let my lawyer know that I will be in the courtroom for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Matter of
right.
fact, if you have a court date and you're available, you make sure you be there.
Right. I've been to all the different court appearances. And so it's very important for everybody in a workers' comp case. Your lawyer says you don't have to be there, but you go. You put yourself in there. Many times I've said, I'm not getting up until you do something. Okay. The doctor's report, Dr. Stahlberg's report for $16,770, it was over $700 a page he was paid. LAUSD has plenty of money. I was just at the town hall meeting with the superintendent, Dr. Daisy, and Tamar Gallickson from the Board of Education. They want a parcel tax now. They have so much money. They have all this fraud and abuse and waste with the construction. Some of the workers I've heard aren't even legal. And then they don't finish, so then they have to pay more. So there's all kinds of payoffs being made. And we all need to stand up. We all need to speak up. At LAUSD, they have vendors that they're paying more money to. And like Ralph said, that they always say terrible things. It doesn't matter if it's true or not, they're going to be saying terrible things. So I want Ralph to know that I'm praying for Lynn. I'm believing for her. I'm looking for her book. God's going to turn this around for her. That's what I'm praying for. And of all this terrible darkness, that these terrible things have happened in darkness, as I've been praying that the light will come, the truth will come out in light.
Hey, I like that, Roz. Roz, you know one thing? This is an opportunity, too, because I got a few calls from some folks down there in L.A., and they have been listening to the show. And they want to know how they can help. And I told them that when I get there, that we all are going to get together and have a nice big meet and decide how we're going to deal with this situation. Because I tell you one thing, just like it happened to you, it would happen to them. And this is what they have to know. Because a lot of times, teachers, for a fact, what they normally do, they don't get involved. They don't get involved
right.
with stuff that's going on even inside the community. Most of them, though, I can't say all of them now. I'm saying most. Now, you know, if you're one of the ones who do get involved, forgive me. I'm not talking about you. But if the shoe fit, you got to wear. So that's how I'm looking at this. So we have to move this thing to a whole different level, Roz, and it's something that we can do. But, Roz, go ahead. You got about another minute before I bring on Libby, and you go right ahead, whatever your heart desires.
Okay, my email address is RozyWow. rozywow@aol.com. And anyone across the country that wants to join us or help us or has ideas, please email me. I had different people come to the town hall meeting, and it was wonderful. They were filming, they were interviewing. It was great. And there was parents there and teachers. Everybody knows what's happening, and it's going to get bigger. And we are going to have a victory. I'm on more radio programs now. Thank you very, very much. Thank God. There's going to be a students' first meeting in downtown Los Angeles with the mayor, Villarigoso, Michelle Rhee, and Sacramento Mayor Kevin Jones, I was invited to. So there's all kinds of things happening, and there's all kinds of ways to speak up, even if people just email or fax if you can't make it. We just need your support, or things will change the same, and they're going to get worse if we do not speak up.
Absolutely. And Roz, I want to thank you for continuing this fight, and stay strong. Line up your allies. Make sure they're with you and not against you, because you got to remember, you know, these corporations, they are not with you. They may talk like they're with you, but they are not. But on that note, I got to bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
I'm gonna go. Yes, good evening. I'm going to go to the article I read some of last week.
Okay.
Now, this is on bhbanco.org. That's BH is in Benton Harbor. bhbanco. bhbanco.org. From Thursday, January 12th. An extremely well-researched article on Whirlpool Corporation, one of the most evil corporations in the world, and it has something like 70% of the whole appliance worldwide market at this point. And this is an article by Chris Savage, who lives in Michigan, and it's called Whirlpool Corporation, a Michigan job creation, quote, success story, unquote, dodging taxes and profiting from poverty. I have been following and writing about Public Act 4, the emergency manager law, since it was passed in March of 2011. The first impacts of the changes made by this law hit in Benton Harbor, Michigan, a tiny town on the shores of Lake Michigan. It has only 10,000 residents, according to the 2010 census, with over half of the people living below the poverty line. Yet in the middle of this desperate town sits the world headquarters of Whirlpool Corporation. Even through the recent recession, the company consistently posted benefits north of $200 million per quarter. Though they once employed a significant number of Benton Harborites, this is no longer true. Manufacturing there ended in early 2011. The headquarters, however, is growing, and construction is in progress. How is it that a successful company like Whirlpool remains in a place like Benton Harbor with all of its poverty and despair? The answer is that it has been and continues to be highly profitable for the company to do so. Though the company employs few locals, Whirlpool has much to gain from exploiting poverty of Benton Harbor as the gentrification of the city rushes forward. Jonathan Mahler of the New York Times Magazine recently wrote a comprehensive piece about the plight of Benton Harbor. I gave his piece a good review and was able to guest post a piece on the Times Magazine's blog where I talked more broadly about the impact of PA4 on Benton Harbor and on our state of Michigan. Mahler concludes that although Whirlpool is not necessarily the good guy, it would like everyone to believe it is. The company may, in fact, be the only answer for Benton Harbor. Now, that's an aside. That's what Mahler of the New York Times Magazine
was saying. Matter of fact, he had no business saying, because he knows the truth, but he just didn't write the truth.
I agree. In an essay for In These Times, Roger Bybee takes strong exception to Mahler's conclusion. And here's what Roger Bybee has to say. And this is so important, I think, that this could be read 100 times. Despite Mahler's moving and insightful description of a deindustrialized city being reshaped by those who destroyed the economic base, with the victims being deprived of any voice, he fails to point out several fundamental features. One, those harmed most by past corporate decisions are treated as disposable people standing in the way of corporate-defined reconstruction. Two, democracy and public participation are early victims to this process. Three, with corporate elites having shrunken government's public interest role in planning and economic development, major, quote, job creation projects, unquote, must be shaped around generating profit with the needs of the majority in negligible concern. Those are the three features. But despite all the rhetoric about corporations rushing to the rescue of troubled cities, whether it be New Orleans, Benton Harbor, or Racine, massive public subsidies to CEOs advocating free enterprise are an essential element. It's a formula for private benefit with public funding for a distorted form of development devoid of democracy or public benefit. So that's what Roger Bybee wrote. And then Chris Savage goes on to say, Bybee's piece is compelling and suggests a closer look at the role that Whirlpool has played and is playing, is warranted. And then Chris Savage goes on to write this incredible piece, really, that he just does all this research and goes into some of the details of how Whirlpool is doing its exploiting, how it's ruining the lives of so many people and has, and how it's ruining the land and the lake. I think maybe I could read a little bit more from this, and then I'll
just continue a little bit. And go right ahead.
Yeah, and then I'll continue it next week.
Yeah.
Whirlpool's exploitation of the situation in Benton Harbor likely goes back more than a decade. Yeah, definitely. Right, Reverend Pinckney? Way
that
more
is
than
correct. That.
That
is correct.
Yeah. Yeah. But we can start with the turn of the millennium. A former official with the Southwest Michigan Airport Board recently told me that Whirlpool benefited significantly from a connection with U.S. Congressman Fred Upton. And here's what this man says. I am a former elected and appointed official from Stephenville, Michigan, who is on the Southwest Michigan Airport Board. While I appreciate that you expanded the facts for Rachel Maddow's show, there is much more. During the time I was serving, I had a considerable number of flights in and out of that airport. It is not well known that Northwest Airlines received a ticket subsidy for every seat in and out of the airport. That lasted for 2 years, which is just the time the airport serviced the public commercially. It was required to service commercially in order to receive federal funding for the airport's runway extensions and electronic navigation aid updates. Of course, this coincided with Whirlpool's purchase of a new jet, which required a longer runway and new navigation electronics. The person who supported the bill to subsidize the tickets? Fred Upton. You mention the upgrade of local property values and do not mention the Upton's property in close proximity, 2 blocks. While nothing is illegal about these things, I just felt that the focus has been on benefiting Whirlpool and Whirlpool's heirs and not the general population. I have connections with the Uptons in Northern Virginia, so this is not a personal attack, just an observation. For so long in Congress, I am really surprised that the fiscal conservatism applied to the constituents and not the person or the corporate beneficiary. And then one last thing here. Well, I guess I could finish next week, right?
But you made a valid point there. You said that there was nothing that Upton is doing is against the law. And remember this, everything that Adolf Hitler did was not against the law, even though he was exterminating the Jews. That wasn't against the law because Adolf Hitler made up the laws. And that's what was happening today. The same thing that's going on back in Germany back in the day, this is what Upton has been doing to our community. Just recently,
He put in, he got some federal money to make sure that these yachts and everything else have enough water to come into the Benton Harbor Canal. Now, we can think of a million more things that we could have did with that money. One, the school system. Another one, the city of Benton Harbor. But instead of trying to help the city of Benton Harbor, they're so busy out trying to take care of themselves, and that's why we're in such a compromising position today. All they do is take, take, take from the resident. And these guys, you know, they really think that the world do not know and the world do not care about what they're really doing. It's criminal what they're doing. But the point is, we have allowed them to get away with it. These are very bad, bad people. And until we stop them, they're going to continue doing the same thing. But on that note, I got to go to Ralph. Ralph, you got about a minute and a half to say what you want. Then I'm going to go back to Mary, and I'm going to go to you, Roz. And if you have something to say, Libby, you can clean it up with you. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yes, one of the things, all of the things that you have been discussing over the years have come to fruition, and it's due to our inability to ascertain who our friends are. We continue to support pastors. We continue to support presidents. We continue to support politicians who do not support us. We must continue to define what our problems are, define our struggles, and to have a meeting of minds, people of purpose uniting. Not all people, not people who look like you, not people who talk like you, but people who have a unity of purpose. And the purpose you state very well, the purpose for the well-being of all of us. And all of those who are interested in, like, the integration of the elite, integration of the wealthy, those who are not moral, those immoral people who allow school systems to exist that do not educate children, those people are not to be considered as our allies, and we are never to associate or to make an organization with them involved. We have to define our purpose and work toward our solution as a group. I can say no more. Thank you, Reverend.
Very good. Mary, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Ralph, I am so honored. All of you, Ralph, Reverend Pinckney, Rosie, all of these wonderful guests and the audience, to unite with you on Sundays so that we can discuss problems and discuss peaceful solutions, that is such a blessing. And it's made possible because of Reverend Pinckney's dedication to justice. Reverend Pinckney has suffered for justice. He was in jail for a year for quoting a Bible verse about the curses that come on people for not being just, and a judge decided that that was a terrorist threat. This is a sincere man of God, and he doesn't talk about God because this is a secular program. But I just want you to know who he is, and if you will go to bhbanco.org online and please send a donation to make it possible for this man to travel, to make it possible for him to host events, to make it possible. I would like for you, Reverend Pinckney, if you're able to come down here in April when we have this meeting, and I know that you would like for me to come in May when you have that meeting. We need a budget for that. It's time to organize. It's time to donate. It's time to get together, and we need a budget to do these things with.
Absolutely.
Won't you please, won't you please, won't you please, sir and madam, most people are sheep. Now, it's not wrong that God made mostly sheep, but he made some rams. And I'll tell you something, you need to support your rams, because otherwise these wolves are going to come and eat you up. You need to support your rams.
That's
so
right.
Please go to BH Banco and drop $5, $10, get your mailing address and mail him a check. and just encourage this man. Encourage Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, God bless you,
sir. You didn't even tell you that you got to go to concentration camp, because a lot of them work on clergy response teams. They're paid by Homeland Security to keep you in the dark, and then when the trucks roll up to get you, they're paid to go out there and say, just honor the government, sweetie, Romans 13:1. I'm telling you the truth.
All right.
And what I want you to do
is, Mary, you did a tremendous job.
Mary Neal,
right,
Mary Neal, I love truth tellers. Mary Neal, I love you. Speak,
amen.
Tellers. Tellers.
Go,
go.
I love Mary.
All right, go ahead, Roz.
I just want to thank you, Reverend Pinckney. You are anointed for this. God is going to use you mightily. Whatever has happened, Romans 8:28, God is going to turn it around for his glory. You're going to be the light that's going to shine and bring us all together. And it's time, no matter what, we're the 99%, and we're going to stand up together to save our country and our schools and all of us. Because if we don't, we're being taken over right and left. And you can't really believe anybody. So thank you for
everything. God bless you. Hey, Libby, go right ahead. You got about 30 seconds.
Occupy the PGA. May 23rd to May 27th. Be in Benton Harbor. May 23rd to May 27th. Occupy the PGA on stolen land. Let's let these corporations, especially Whirlpool, know how we feel. Be there.
Amen. And I would just like to say, let's continue the boycott of all Whirlpool products. It's crucial. Matter of fact, we got them on the run. And I'm looking at this as a major victory. So if we can neutralize them, even though they got the PGA coming here and it's sponsored by them, they will have all the TV commercials that you would ever see about Whirlpool will be on the PGA. But our job is to make sure we have our signs, so they'll know that we're serious about what we're doing. We have to occupy the PGA. We have to boycott all Whirlpool products. And I tell you this one last thing, then I'm going to hang up. I'm going to say goodnight. This is a victory for us, for the people. This is a major victory for the people. And you can put a notch on your pistol and said, this is a major victory for the people, because we are spanking Whirlpool butt. And that's because people are not buying their product. And I am so happy. I got to go, but we don't have any more time. Time has ran out. But I tell you, next week, you be on this show, and we're going to talk some more. And we want you to know that Lynn Stewart, February 29th, will be in court in New York, or she won't be there, but her case will, and we want people to come out and support her. I don't care what you got to do. If you got to go to work, take off that day, because she's a true soldier, and we love her, and we want to do everything we can to support her. And on that note, we have no more time, and I will talk to you all next week. God bless y'all, and keep up the fight. Ralph, Mary, Roz, Libby, I love you all. Dorothy, hang
in
there.
We love you. Thank you.
I love y'all too
now.
Y'all take care of yourself.
Good night
now. All right.
God bless you, audience.